Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, November 8th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
TGIF, Melody.
Absolutely. And what a week it has been. I'm really looking forward to the weekend, even though I'm going to work a little bit tomorrow.
Up, down, all around.
I'll tell you what a hectic week it's been. It's been a great week, a hectic week. And so let's go ahead and get started with the precious metals today. We got gold today. It's been all over the page. It tried to get out of its own way, but in the last, probably about the last hour of trade, it just, couldn't hold it. It really did hold a 1460 for a long time. I mean, we had a high of 1469, and here we go, looking in the New York spot price aftermarket, down $9 at 1459. Silver's down 30 cents today at 1689. What a drop that has had. But these are all buying opportunities, ladies and gentlemen. And platinum was down 21 at 891, and even palladium got hit today, down 3%, down 53 at 1750. Now, I didn't follow the USDX today, so let me go ahead. And with those numbers, I'd have to think it's pretty strong. Yeah, it is. Up 0.24 at 98.37. Now, why is not the administration coming out and saying, oh, our dollar is too strong? Our dollar is too strong. Where are those comments anymore? And crude oil was up 27 at 57.42. Because as we always know, ladies and gentlemen, when I mean administration, I mean all administrations. You know, they only use their terminology when their little gripes and groans and so forth, when it works for their benefit. And so I guess right now a strong dollar is benefiting them, hurts major multinational corporations, but government likes inflation. They don't like a strong dollar. They want a weaker dollar. So that's what's in the cards in the future, whether we have it today or not. Well, today we don't, but in the near future, again, fundamentals, they're not going to change. They're still there. Stock market today was down 10 points, 27,665. The NASDAQ was up 40 at 84.75. S&P up 7, 3,093. And 10-year yield, 1.93%. You know, and I don't know, I maybe it was just in a one-day move or something like that. But I saw headlines where everybody was griping about that 10-year yield, Dave, saying that as the biggest percentage gain. I think they must have been talking about yesterday, a biggest percentage gain since President Trump's been in office. And it's like, I think we had some bigger ones, a year ago. But so not quite sure what those numbers on that are. But 1.93, I mean, it is up quite a bit. European Asian markets, pretty flat, down a few points. Extreme greed index, fear and greed. We're in extreme greed at 90. We're at that 90 mark. And it's always an interesting, just interesting little index to follow because, Dave, they follow a lot of different indicators. You know, they use the put and call options. They use a stock price strength. They use stock price breadth. They use market momentum. They use safe haven demand. They use junk bond demand. They use market volatility. And they put all those, which is the VIX and its 50-day moving average, and they put all that together. And, they come up with a number that determines what that investment emotion is basically driving the markets. And and it just fascinates me because, a year ago, there was fear. I mean, yesterday was 91, today was 90, a week ago was 80, a year ago was 29. And so, what's changed, Dave? Anything? I guess not. So,
another day, another drama, Melody.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Let's see. I think I have a problem with my computer, Dave. So if you'd like to go ahead and take the first topic until I get situated, that would be fantastic.
Be happy to. We're reading today. There's some key news here driving the precious metal and paper markets as we head into the weekend. U.S. companies are holding off on major purchases and investments. That's not new. Paying down debt and stacking up cash kind of is more anyway, as they look to position for an economic down next year. Now, firms are trying to protect themselves from a recession, but their spending pullback, ironically, could weaken the overall economy much more quickly and potentially hasten the very condition they fear. As we now know, business investment has fallen for 6 straight months. It declined by 3% in the third quarter. That's the largest drop since 2015. Now, this retrenchment by businesses helped turn, Wednesday's U.S. workforce productivity report. It's a key economic metric that compares goods and services output to the number of labor hours worked, helped turn that negative for the first time in 4 years. Now, a slew of traditional recession indicators have shown up, as we've been telling you. The yield curve has inverted. The manufacturing and housing sectors have weakened. Some believe the manufacturing sector, in fact, has been in a recession for some time, and income inequality has spiked to the highest level on record, both in the U.S. and around the globe. But in contrast to previous economic cycle, when businesses spent recklessly, expecting the good times to last forever, today almost two-thirds of top execs and business owners say they expect a recession now within the next 18 months. Well, that's a moving target and has been. Some like Jamie Dimon earlier this year saw it coming sooner. A number of other analysts have as well. But in any event, these businesses are taking action. U.S. corporate balance sheets are holding more than $2.2 trillion, and that's according to the global accounting firm PwC, PricewaterhouseCooper, formerly known as. It's also the highest number in decades. Companies have added to their holdings since that survey and absolutely getting themselves prepared for the coming downturn. A PwC official said they're building cash reserves in their balance sheets like we haven't seen in a long time. There's just an incredible amount of cash there, she said. Indeed, investors are getting ready for the good times to come to an end. Data from the Investment Company Institute shows that even though the stock market has risen by nearly 25%, investors have been net sellers, pulling $100 billion out of equity funds. A lot of that has gone into gold. They've moved more than $3.5 trillion into money market funds, essentially savings accounts, a lot into gold again. The money market transfer has been the highest level since 2009. John Bilton, who's J.P. Morgan's head of global multi-asset strategy, says all the preparation for the end of the cycle could forestall the end of the cycle. On the other hand, as we believe, there are still a lot of risks out there, particularly, as Melody likes to point out, rightly so, the skyrocketing levels of governmental, corporate, and consumer debt, which certainly we believe, is a bubble that's just waiting to burst. Melody.
Dave, I'm going to take over here, and perhaps you can disconnect or if you can disconnect for me, you're having really bad audio. So Todd is going to connect with you directly because it's too
great.
Yeah, it was just too much to wait until break. So disconnect and Todd will connect with you. And while we're waiting for Dave to come back, you know, they came out with sentiment, consumer sentiment. That was up a little slightly. One of the reports was released today by the University of Michigan. It rose a little more than expected this month. People are getting a little more confident about the economy, according to a preliminary data release by the University of Michigan. And let's see, the early November read. And I'm not sure Dave is disconnected yet. So, Dave, you got to disconnect.
I'm disconnected. I disconnected and am back.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Todd, we're in fashion.
We might have to get you by phone because we're still losing you.
All right.
You know, but let's just see. I was talking about the sentiment that rose a little more than expected, and so consumers did voice a slightly more positive outlook for the economy, which was offset by a slightly less favorable outlook for their own personal finances, and the number was nearly identical to last month's and the average of the 2019 level of 95.6. And I said, we saw some pressure on these stock markets. 1 minute, the U.S.-China trade tensions, they seem to have eased a little bit. The two sides are supposedly reportedly working to finalize the so-called Phase One deal. And I saw that they were going to, take off the tariffs. One day a trade agreement is on, the next day who knows. The paper markets went wild yesterday after multiple news outlets reported the same tariffs may be undone, but this morning we that isn't so, that agreement really isn't so, and that it is facing fierce internal opposition within the White House and also from outside advisors. The idea of a tariff rollback was not part of the original October handshake deal between Chinese Vice Premier Liu He and President Trump. So the Chinese official said yesterday the tariff reductions had been agreed to, and a U.S. official confirmed that was the case. Now there seems to be a divide within the administration. So, scratch your heads. Let me get my crystal ball out. And perhaps in a world where we live, where so much information is so readily available, maybe this is how all these various agreements around the world were done here and there, but we're just getting more of the details. And, maybe they've always been on one day and off the next, and this is just normal negotiations. So, not sure, but the Chinese Communist Party, they're trying to retrade the agreement, said one former White House advisor. He added that rolling back earlier tariffs goes against the grain of the original October agreement. And of course, there's nothing that Trump hates more than someone backtracking on a deal, he said. So we'll see how it goes, until that's what they always use. You don't spend any money until you have it in your bank account. I guess this is the same. We don't have a trade deal until the trade deal is done. So all this back and forth and promises and so forth is, but if it affects the market, that's what they're going to do. They're going to do everything possible to keep any pressures off of that stock market. And with the election year coming, that's a big part of it also. Ray Dalio, here's another guy. He's a billionaire hedge fund owner. And, Dave, whenever you're back, chirp in, when you're here. But billionaire hedge fund owner Ray Dalio says that the global business cycle is in a great sag, and the world's economy holds at least two parallels to the 1930s.
Whoa.
Are you there, Dave?
I'm back.
Oh, good. But speaking at the IMF and the World Bank annual meetings in D.C., Dalio said it was now too late. It was too late for central banks to make much difference as economies enter a natural downturn. He says the cycle is fading. We are now in a world in what he calls a great sag. He said that, adding that the monetary policy, especially interest rate reductions, they're not going to offer any stimulus. They're very unlikely to offer much stimulus. He says Europe is at the limitation of that. Japan is too. And the U.S. doesn't have much to go on for that. And, you know, they're talking about interest rate reductions, adding that monetary policy, creating debt. They're out of it. Dalio warned that the world was experiencing the biggest wealth gap since the 30s. That was also creating political stress. And, you know, the list goes on, Dave. It just goes on and on when you look at some of these numbers.
We're seeing some of this wealth gap play out in the early stages of the 2020 presidential election, with certain candidates trying to outdo some of the others. But, you know, in the U.S., the top one-tenth to 1% of the population has a net worth that's about equal to the bottom 90%. That's an important reminder, ladies and gentlemen. Dalio, you know, he's a billionaire. He's a paper market guy. You know, he told this panel that China's new swagger was further evidence that the world now echoes the Depression era of the 20th century. He said, also, like the 1930s, we have a rising power challenging an existing world power in the form of China. And the challenges there presenting to the U.S. and the rest of the world. You know, adding to the woes out there, Dalio said that central banks have been giving cheap money to investors who've been injecting it into companies that are often unprofitable and don't contribute a dime to economic growth. He said the system of making capitalism work well for most people is broken. It's interesting, he posted this essay that he had out there on LinkedIn titled, "The World Has Gone Mad and the System is Broken." Well, you know, until they get, you know, our ballooning debt in particular, and this disproportionate access to credit melody, you know, which is fueling a lot of this wealth gap, things are not going to get much better.
Well, one thing that we are getting is the cue to go to break. I hear the music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us today.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs archived. You can listen live just by going to the radio page, clicking on the bar at the top at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, or you can listen to the archives 24/7 whenever you feel like listening to Financial Survival. And, of course, we've got the great prices here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and you just need to pick up the phone. We got some 90% silver in. Fractional pieces, they're kind of hard to get now. 2019's because the beginning to shut off, the Treasury was out of them because I believe they're shutting down. They, you know, didn't remake them because of the end of the year. They'll soon be switching over their dies to hit the 2020s. And this is what we usually find at this time of the year. Take over, Dave.
Well, let's. One of the things we were going to get to last segment, we ran out of time, is the IRS has released the federal tax rates and income brackets for 2020. That happened earlier this week. I'll just summarize them for you. The seven tax rates remain unchanged, you know, 10, 12, 22, 24, and, you know, on up to 37%. You know, tax rates, as most listeners know, at least in the U.S., are marginal, meaning, you know, means that different levels of the same person's income are taxed at different rates, depending on what kind of standard or itemized deductions one has. So if you and your spouse earn $80,000 in 2020 and are married filing jointly, for example, the first $19,750 of that will be taxed at 10%. And the income over that, up to $80,250, will be taxed at 12. So these, of course, these new tax brackets affect the taxes that will be filed in 2021. Melody, you want to summarize any other groups for listeners?
No. We're just having issues today with your audio and my voice. Nothing like live
on any
radio.
Event, you can see these income brackets on our Facebook page at DGS Coins or on the IRS's website, irs.gov.
Well, you know, we talk about Sears, we talk a lot about these other stores that are closing, and you know, as the holiday season approaches, the parent company of Sears and Kmart, they've secured a $250 million lifeline and announced plans Thursday to shut 96 more stores. And that's going to leave the business with 182 locations. The financing came from lenders that include owner Eddie Lampert. So the company, now called Transformco, added it as taking the steps to focus on its competitive strengths, but it, you know, still faces some difficult retail environment and some other challenges, which is debt. But, you know, they don't want to say that. And, you know, Lambert, well, you know, he ran it, huh?
No, go ahead.
You know, Lambert, my view, it's my opinion, that Lambert pretty much ran Sears into the ground. And then, you know, I mean, Sears was having difficult times anyway. But, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, kind of makes you question, you know, but he bought Sears out of bankruptcy for $5.2 billion earlier this year, and he acquired all these stores. And, you know, but we've seen them change their retirement and where their employee plans and everything like that. But but this is, you know, this is what happens. And
The demise is continuing. The retail demise.
Yeah.
Sears,
yeah.
The last profitable year was 2010, almost a decade ago. They're going out of business. Sales are set to begin December 2nd, week after Black Friday, and these 96 additional stores will close sometime in February.
Mm. Well, one thing I just wanted to add, there was an article out today about, and, you know, you're in Pennsylvania, and I'll be going to Mannheim for Thanksgiving. And this is, Mannheim has the largest auto auction house in the United States. They run about 8 million vehicles through its auctions a year. And they're
amazing.
Experiencing, I know it is. I mean, Mannheim is probably a population of, well, it's right outside of Lancaster. It's, you know, pretty much just part of Lancaster now. But Mannheim probably has 10,000?
The borough, yeah, the borough has probably 10,000. Now, there's Mannheim Township. I'm not sure where the auction is. That's maybe 50,000 now. That's really grown the last 20 years. Yeah. But if you want to see a spectacle, ladies and gentlemen, if you have access to Google Maps, go to Google Maps, query Mannheim Auto Auction, and look at the aerial photo of how expansive that site is. I mean, it's got to be a railroad carrier's dream to be able to run through that property.
I know. I mean, 8 million vehicles in that little town, and so, you know, it is fascinating. I'll have to do that. I haven't done that yet. But, you know, we've had they're beginning to experience the first year-over-year decline after 32 months in a row of gains. It inched down 0.4% from October 2018. And, of course, this is according to the Used Vehicle Value Index by Mannheim. As we just mentioned, the largest auto auction in the U.S. So this has followed two phenomenal spikes that started in the summer of 2017 and interrupted by partial retracements. So, again, it's just a little something, a little nip in the bud where we're beginning to see, things going to the negative. And certainly not rejoicing in this negative area, but it's just facts. It's not fake news, ladies and gentlemen. It's real. Wholesale prices declined on a year-over-year basis in segments, but luxury cars. So that's kind of interesting. And there was another interesting thing about, I think we all remembered when there was a big stink about General Motors. They were shuttering the Ohio factory. Was selling a massive assembly plant. Actually, they shut it down earlier this year. It drew a lot of comments from President Trump, sold it to a newly. They're selling that plant to a newly formed company yesterday, and it tends to be to begin making electronic trucks by late 2020. So, you know, GM sold it. Closed its stores, and now a new company, they're going to be making electric trucks by late 2020.
As their name isn't Tonka.
No. It's Lordstown. Lordstown Motor Corps plans to hire 400 production workers at the outset, but it said it still needs more investors before manufacturing can begin. So they're going to hire 400 people. They can't manufacture anything, and they need more money. They need to go into debt, and that's what investors are, debt. GM had employed 4,500 people at the factory just 2 years ago. So you went from 4,500 to 400, and we'll see how many they hire after you know, they but 2020, the end of 2020 is a long ways away. Might seem like a short time, but I think a lot's going to happen at this point in time. So we'll see, and we'll keep an eye on that. But electric trucks, I'm not quite sure how that is going to work. The demand, what the demand of that could be, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, your blog comes out on a Friday, Dave, and you know the listeners can see the blog. They can subscribe from our website by, you know, going to the radio page and signing up for the newsletter at dgscoins.com, or go to our Facebook. We're beginners at this, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with us when it comes to Facebook and all this other technology. And you're writing about the temporary correction in gold. And what's your take on it?
Well, as we now know, gold, Melody, slid more than 1% yesterday to its lowest level in over a month. That was on top of Tuesday's drop of 2.5%, not to mention today's drop. The main reason for this correction, as we're hearing, the trade war. Yesterday, anyway, Treasury yields jumped. Global equities cheered that perhaps the U.S. and China actually would, after months of howling wolves, sign a Phase One trade agreement. And that, we learned, could lead both countries to cancel some of the tariffs, albeit in phases. Well, as of this morning's opening, spot gold was down about 2.5% for the week at $1,469 an ounce, having slipped earlier a little bit lower. Now we're seeing the biggest weekly drop in 3 months. Perhaps more importantly, gold dipped below its 100-day moving average to about 14, or the moving average, which is about $1,476 an ounce, for the first time in 6 months. Now, one Wall Streeter observed that postponing the China tariff deal was adding to precious metal investor uncertainties. But it seems that there's some agreement to remove some tariffs before the end of the year. He said China has a weakening economy and needs to make this deal. According to the Chinese commerce industry, there's no timetable for how long after a Phase One signing the tariff reductions would begin. But as Melody indicated at the top of today's program, the White House, particularly the president, begs to differ and says that he hasn't agreed to these tariff reductions. Again, whether we're just seeing more posturing here on both sides as negotiating tools, that's my own guess, but the reality will be borne out in, I'm sure, in soon enough. In any event, you know, that hurt bullion safe haven appeal by adding the gold's opportunity cost. That's that is the U.S. the rise in U.S. Bonds this week, and that's now at a three. That had some additional pressure from the dollar, which has held firm, is now at a 3-week high against other currencies. Melody.
And, you know, the analysts, you know, these Wall Streeters, they don't want people own gold, so, you know, or very little of it, so they all have their opinion. And you wrote that you saw that also of these analysts' interpretations of, you know, some are for it, some against it. You know, please comment about that.
Well, it's true. I mean, in a distinct minority, for example, Edward Moya of the firm Oanda says that gold's in danger, breaking below its recent ranges. Trade optimism drives continues to drive a global risk-on rally that's driving both global bond yields and major indexes sharply higher this week. Other analysts, however, say they remain optimistic about gold, and there's a distinct majority in this camp, especially after the Fed reduced rates for the third time in 2019. In October, providing a solid footing in the precious metals market. Now, one of them, Adam Button of Forex Live, said that message has really set the tone for a long-term gold rally. The Fed, he believes, has basically said that no matter how good the economic data gets, the Fed won't be raising interest rates, and that's good for gold. Philip Strible of RJO Futures also sees last week's Fed action as bullish for gold in the long term. He added that in the current environment, gold prices could rally alongside the record valuation in equity markets. Cheap money, he said, is going to continue to drive equity markets higher, but gold should do as well as a hedge against risk.
You know, what's interesting, Dave, is if you go back to what Ray Dalio said, all these central banks, you're right, cheap money. All of these central banks have just about ran out of cheap money. And it's not going to create the amount of stimulus that they're going to need. And because this whole world has been based on that, all these record stock markets have all been based on that is fake investments, really, fake money. Talk about fake news. What about fake money? So there is only one way this plays out. And, you know, we do have these, and that's what, you know, I think some of these guys are saying in the short term, you know, what we're going to see and so forth. But, yeah, if you even, you know, and I'm no fan of Ray Dalio. I mean, hey, he runs the biggest hedge fund, and they change markets. They do make markets. But what you have to listen to is what he's saying about there is no more room for these countries to stimulate their economies to keep it on the same page. The page is going to turn. And it's all good for gold because we are here today because of our dollar being fiat. And we all know those currencies fail eventually. It takes more of those dollars. It's the same story over and over and over again. But it isn't going to change.
Indeed.
It isn't going to get any better. And I think he did you talk about in your blog, you talk about the focus on the high bar that the Fed has set for future rate hikes. Ladies and gentlemen, these, and you're right, Dave, the markets focus on this. These are indicators for you listeners. Because what they're telling us is just how bad this economy is. So a lot of you might say, well, you know, the Fed, blah, 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 blah. But it's a following point that we need to take heed to. And Dave, we'll finish this up when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we were just finishing up his weekly blog that I believe it already went out, didn't it, Dave?
Well, it was supposed to, but I haven't seen it come across my screen yet, so we'll check right after the show, but we'll certainly be on the lookout for it the rest of sometime before dinner.
And again, you know, we're going to bring this to a close, but it is important that we follow these markets because these are it tells us, it gives us ideas of how close we are and what's going to happen. And, you know, it's always something to pay attention to. And, you know, you can take us if you want to finish this up, Dave.
Well, you know, you had a good lead-in at the end of the last segment when you said that investors, we believe, should now focus on the high bar that the Fed has set for future rate hikes. I mean, during his press conference on October 21st, after the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, Jerome Powell said it would need to see a significant rise in inflation before they considered another rate hike. You know, although the Fed's, you know, seemingly ready to take a pause now, markets still sense eventual further easing. And we see the CME Fed rate watch tool still shows that markets see the next rate cut by July of next year. And just remember, interest rates remaining this low in particular reduces gold's opportunity cost as a non-yielding asset. And that's going to continue to put upward pressure on gold's price in the months and year ahead. Of course, there's also the year-and-a-half tariff war. And gosh, doesn't it seem like that's been going on forever?
Yes.
You know, gold's jumped. The tariff war is a big reason why gold's jumped over 14% so far this year. It's including this week's drop, maybe a little less after today. It's up $242, 20% over the past year. You know, although more selling pressure for gold similar to this week's can't be ruled out, will certainly happen for different reasons, not the least of which is certain people trying to manipulate markets. Gold futures still suggest an upward trend. So, you know, we think this week's correction, then, Melody, is a win-win. You know, as they say on Wall Street, it's a good time to buy on the dip. That's number one. Another, you know, this week's dip is temporary and will be short-lived. So if you bought before this week's correction, don't fret. You should have the comfort of knowing that when the recession comes, you'll be protected with an asset whose value will literally soar through the clouds. So, ladies and gentlemen, gold's climb up the beanstalk will continue. There's just far too much economic uncertainty and geopolitical volatility out there for it not to.
And, you know, you made a good point, Dave. You know, people who buy at higher prices, they get all upset because it drops and so forth. And gold truly is the safe haven. And you don't want your safe haven to be volatile. I mean, that's the whole point of buying a safe haven, and because it gives you that security, you don't have to fret about it. And certainly we want all investments to go up, but as long as those fundamentals still hold true, you know, yes, it could be a period of time, but and again, it's all relative to the pricing is relative to everything else. And because we lose our purchasing power on a daily basis. We talk about this all the time on this program. So, you know, what you do if you bought at a higher price, you belly up to the bar and you buy more and cost average down. You know, you cost average your pricing. And so it'll bring those other prices down if you rebuy now. And but also those people who get upset because they bought higher or they get frustrated because prices haven't gone up as quick as, you know, we can't believe that they've been able to carry this on, is because they've listened to a lot of the other promoters of gold and silver who only talk about the multiple of gains you're going to have, and they buy based on pricing that it's going to go up in the next 6 months or it's going to go up in the next 8 months. And nobody knows that. And when you buy based on that, you get frustrated a little more quicker, and because you don't think that it's paying off. So don't become frustrated. You know, people have bought from Discount Gold and Silver since, you know, well, our doors opened 1995. And, you know, we build relationships with clients. So we still talk to those clients that we've had since 1995. I received a nice letter from a woman. I don't mean to go off topic, Dave, but I received a really nice letter from a customer. And it was a while since she had ordered. I mean, it's probably maybe 10, 15 years since she had ordered. And she said, "Thanks so much for being there. You guys are the best. You make it easy to invest. Your honesty is another reason I come back. It's another reason I refer you to others. I'm glad you are there. God bless you and keep you." It's not the only letter that I get like this, but it just happens to be here, and it came recently. And I thank her for sending that, because, you know, we need to hear that. You folks need to hear that. And it's, you know, it humbles me when I get letters.
It's a nice comment, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's a nice comment.
It really is. It really, truly is. She took the time to write that, but I get... And so, thank you. Thank you all. But I'm not sure where I was heading on that. But anyway, so don't become frustrated if prices dip like we've seen. Hang in there, because we know where we're going. We just don't know when. And you want a conservative safe haven. You don't want something that's volatile when you're trying to protect your purchasing power. And you want real money. You know, moving on. You know, there's comments coming out of Europe from the French president, Macron. And to some degree, I agree. To some degree, he's correct. He's referred to NATO as brain dead and questioned whether the alliance is still fit for purpose now that America's commitment, you know, has come into question. Macron argues that the consensus behind the transatlantic alliance is obsolete. And that's the part where I agree with him. It probably is obsolete. And it probably does need to change. I mean, it's but I don't think his reasoning, Dave, is the same as, you know, what I believe. But he says that Europe will disappear geopolitically. Well, that's their problem. That's a lot their fault if it fails to become a unified, effective, and far more assertive world power in its own right. He says Europe was basically built to the Americans' junior partner. And this went hand in hand. So, you know, they shouldn't have been, you know, I get mixed. I think NATO might have been something that was needed at that point in time, but I do believe it is now obsolete. So, I don't know if you wanted to say anything to that, Dave.
No, I think we can move on. I think that's Macron is obviously has a big interview here in the Economist magazine's this edition this week. Says some pretty provocative things, and I think. You know, he's sending different signals, different folks. to his European peers. I think he's saying, come on, we got to get our acts together, you know, beyond a blame game, which he may be trying to suggest. I think the more important point for them, not necessarily for the U.S., but for them, is that, you know, perhaps we've taken too many things for granted over the years, perhaps, or especially over the last decade or two. And that particularly now with the rise of China, in an economic sense, it's aside from any military, you know, perspective, that this, you know, along with the reemergence of power to some extent by Turkey and Russia, that European nations had better step up and not necessarily look outside across the oceans for primary help, but you know, to take things into their own hand and perhaps become an equal partner after you know, literally decades of you know, this growing alliance called NATO. So it's interesting on a, I won't say necessarily a related note, but staying in Europe for a second, it looks as though the U.S. May not impose tariffs on European Union autos and auto goods, Melody.
Yeah, this was, I mean, this was big. It was supposed to, I think, begin next week. But I guess Trump gave himself a deadline of mid-November to decide whether to impose the levies on cars and auto parts. And, of course, the EU came back and said that they would retaliate with tariffs on $39 billion of American goods. And I think those were on jeans and whiskey. You can't put tariffs on jeans and whiskey.
And motorcycles.
Or wine. I think wine was one. Huh?
Oh, yeah, the tariffs are already on French wines, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
But, so, you know, again, you know, President Trump had infuriated the leaders, European leaders, by declaring American imports on steel and aluminum and security threat and imposing levies of 25% and levies of 25% and 10% respectively on shipments from around the world, including the EU. So, as I mentioned, you know, some of those goods were from the Harley-Davidson motorcycles, jeans, whiskey. So at least they're going to hold off.
Yeah, that's certainly going to, you know, save consumers some money. Yeah, you know, they say a 25% U.S. levy on foreign cars would add 10,000 euros to the sticker price of EU vehicles imported into the country. Cars like Mercedes and BMW. U.S. tariffs on these European cars and auto parts would certainly, you know, represent a significant escalation of trade tensions with the European nations. And, you know, a lot of that's because of the value of these automotive exports from the Eurozone to the American market. It's about 10 times greater than that of the block steel and aluminum exports combined. So, as a result, European retaliatory duties would target a bigger amount of U.S. exports to Europe. Not sure that's good for anybody right now, given everything else that's going on in the world, but as we like to say, we shall see.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was in a parking lot the other day, and there was a car that drove up next to me, and I didn't recognize it. And here it was. It was an SUV, and it was a Cadillac. And I guess they have a new model out. I mean, I don't follow Cadillac or anything like that, but it was a nice-looking vehicle.
FP6. Pardon?
FP6. Is that what it was? It was an SUV.
Yes, that's the FP6 model.
Yeah, it was smaller than the Escalade. I don't know if they're still making the Escalade or not. It was a nice looking vehicle. And if it dried, I would think it would give, competition to the Mercedes and BMW, if it's in the same size category of an SUV, so a crossover.
Yeah, I would think it would give them the Mercedes and BMW smaller sized SUVs a run for their money, particularly if these tariffs happen to be imposed.
Yes, exactly. And but you know what? I mean, that's how you can possibly bring, some competition back to the States in order to create some jobs through auto manufacturing. If those Cadillacs are built here in the States, I don't know if they are, but if they're built here, I'm assuming they are. I mean, the Buick, their one little hot Buick, I can't remember which one it is. I mean, it's built in China and then brought over here, and everybody thinks, oh, it's a Buick. It's made here in the United States. No, it isn't. It's give some competition. Put those tariffs on those European vehicles, and maybe people would want to save 10% or $10,000 and buy an American car. But hey, I hear the music. We're heading into the end of the program and into the weekend. Monday is a holiday for banks and post offices. We'll probably be doing a program, though, so make sure you tune in. It's Veterans Day. And have a great weekend. Be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.